Attention everyone, this is an emergency broadcast. The loud frequency coming from your radio is not a mistake. Do not turn off your radio, but instead turn up your radio as loud as it can go. Do this so we can broadcast this frequency as loud as possible.
And welcome to another episode of Game Stuff. I'm your gaming gal, Kalai, and with me today is Roberto. What's up, Roberto?
Hello, everyone. Happy New Year. Welcome to 2020.
I am Kalai, and this is 2020. Oh, wrong show.
I see what you did there.
For those of you that are new to our podcast, we are a conversational podcast for gamers, by gamers, about gaming. This week's topic of the show is we're going to be talking about the backlog beatdown. That's right. I'm going to be talking about my pile of shame today. I have beer with me because it's a doozy. But before we get into the topic, let's get our party started as we always do with Roberto. What have you been playing?
A whole bunch of stuff. Let's get started on one really cool Nintendo Switch games I want to talk about. One is called Riverbond from Cocucumber. Cocucumber? That's the name of the Elder Stuber. Yeah. It is. It's like Cocucumber. It's not cucumber. It's Cocucumber. I'm telling you. It's a weird development studio, but it's a really neat game. So Riverbond is an isometric action RPG with up to between one and four player co-op, and the objective is just to go on quests and slay giant monsters. And it's kooky, it's a little silly. It has a voxel presentation, so everything's all thick voxels. When you destroy things, there's voxels. And there's, you know, your characters are not even like they don't have like arms and legs really. They have like, there's just like icons, and they just have a little something that you can just attack with your magic and your swords. It's a lot of fun. It actually has cameo appearances from other known franchises, including Bastion the Kid and the Luchadore from Guacamelee. And it's a really neat game. I actually have been playing with my six-year-old niece, and the controls are easy. You just move around with the left stick. You attack with one of the buttons on the right, and you can charge up the attack and use your magic power to take care of enemies. And the quests are cool. Like they're simple, but it's done in like this charm, this self-aware charm of knowing that it's an RPG and it's an adventure game and things like that. And it's a lot of fun. And she's been able to actually play with me, fight monsters and fight giant bosses. We took care of two over the holiday break. So it's also on the PlayStation 4. And I don't know if it's on Xbox. I do know it's on PC and it's on Switch. It's about $14.99, but it's a lot of fun. There's about 12 bosses to take care of. And on top of that, before Christmas, they actually released a giant patch that adds a whole new area, new features and things like that. So the game came out over the summer last year. It's actually, and they gave it, the Stripe PR gave me a review copy, and it's a very, very, very strong game. Lots of fun, especially if you've got the younger players out there. But if you got a bunch of adults, you're going to have a lot of fun with this one, too.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, listen, listeners, if you're participating in the backlog beatdown, you should totally pick this game up.
Yes, it's especially if you got some buddies. I have to really recommend that. It's easy drop-in, drop-out co-op. So you just, you know, even if you're in the middle of something, you just touch the controller and bada-boom, you're all set. So, yeah, that's Riverbond. From Cocucumber. The next game is actually really neat for anybody who likes storytelling. It's Some Distant Memory.
Okay. Is this like a visual novel? Is this like an action?
It's like an investigative adventure game. It's that, you know, it takes place in an interesting post-apocalypse or active apocalypse type deal with and it has an animation style that's reminiscent of like Don't Starve or Samurai Jack a little bit with the illustrations.
Okay, so yeah.
It's these same guys actually are making the same team that made Some Distant Memory are actually making the Cyanide and Happiness Rapture Rejects. So it's from that same team.
I actually got that game.
You did?
I did. It was part of the Humble Bundle Christmas bundle that they had done.
Oh, great!
I didn't even know they made a game. I was really surprised.
Yeah, yeah. they're pretty good with the animation and Rapture Rejects is a lot of fun. So Some Distant Memory takes place 300 years in the future, and the whole game is based upon today's science. There's actually in this post-apocalypse, there's these rapid storms that are actually filled with algae. There's this algal bloom that takes over the surface of the planet. And humans are still around, but they live in giant domes, and they have to limit their time outside because this algae, like, rusts away and is toxic to everything. You're trying to look for artifacts from what they call the pre-collapse, or the collapse, when everything went wrong. And you're trying to look for artifacts from the pre-collapse, and you stumble into a hole and fall into a giant cave. Turns out the cave has a giant man-made structure from the pre-collapse, so your objective is to go in and investigate everything inside of this home, this structure, and find out more about the pre-collapse. The game, the only drawback is that this game will last you 6 hours, and then there's no real reason to replay it. There's not even like a commentator's or director's cut.
Well, is that really a drawback these days? I mean, with so many games that are 100 hours, sometimes a 6 hour game can be amazing.
Right. And I can say that I can agree with you because this is pretty amazing. This is it's a pretty solid and strong story that I really got into, and especially towards the final act, I got really into and I couldn't put it down. It's a very sharp looking game. You explore this entire structure in the darkness. You have to use like your computer. Your computer is shaped like a lantern, and it has like a light that glows. You scan different things. You can recreate past events. Your computer has an AI in it, and you have another partner with you as well. So it's there's a lot of strong chemistry with the writing, the story, the sequence of events, and then of course the conclusion is actually really strong too. The story, as I mentioned, is based on real world like science and events and things like that, and it kind of mirrors today. But it's like it pokes some interesting ideas. It never kind of, you know, beats you down or anything or ham-fists anything. It's just, this is what things are. This is what we think is going to happen. And this is like, you know, the what we could hopefully see in the future. So it's a really good, very, very good game. It's $14.99. It's on PC and Nintendo Switch. It was released in November of last year. I actually happened to play it at PAX West. And it was a very strong game. I really appreciated and enjoyed what it is. And I'm actually going to be writing up a review. The team sent me a review copy, and I can say this is a strong recommendation, especially for the Switch, because you can, you know, play it on the go, and it's perfect for on the go if you're like looking to see a story game and not, you know, get too lost in like a big action game or something. So those are the two big games for the Switch. And then as for PlayStation 4, I've just been catching up on Odin Sphere, Lefthauser, from the guys that made Dragon's Crown. Wonderful video game. It's also on the Vita. And also Attack on Titan 2, the Attack on Titan sequel, which is also very, very good. Lots of gameplay in there. I'm probably 20 hours in, and I haven't even, like, I don't even think I'm close to the halfway point. But wow. Really, really good, yeah. And finally, I'll mention a Stardust Galaxy Warriors Stellar Climax, which I'm sure I brought up on the show before.
Okay.
Yeah, it's that the co-op spaceship shooter with mechs.
Oh yeah.
So
you do love your shmups.
Yeah, they're great. They're easy, and if they're they're a lot of fun. So this particular game is great because you can adjust the difficulty. And I have a 10-year-old nephew, a 6-year-old niece, a 7-year-old godson, and I was able to adjust the difficulty to cadet, and they were able to play. Granted, it still puts up a fight. We had to fight the giant space crab last night, Tuesday night. And I was only able to defeat him because I'm in a mech called the Blue Falcon. He throws spears, and I just spam that button, and it every spear that hits him hits the boss gets like a huge critical hit and does a lot of damage. So, but we had a good time. They had a good time. They like to choose the gold robot and the red robot and all that. So, that's me and my week of gaming. So, Kalai, how's your luchadoring?
It's really good, but before I get to that, I actually want to talk about another game I played called Cthulhu Saves Christmas.
Oh, good. Okay, how is that?
It's amazing. It's so much fun. I actually have a review copy. It's from the same makers as Cosmic Star Heroine. So it uses the same type of system, but they kind of evolved it. So do you know in like a Final Fantasy like 1 or 2 where they had the random encounters?
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, I have the original Cosmic Star Heroine as well. So I'm familiar with the layout. It's inspired, like they said, it was inspired by Chrono Cross.
Right.
With the combat system and everything.
But in this version of the game, in this system, each area you go to has X amount of encounters, which is displayed in your bottom right hand. So like right. It would be like 15 or 20. Once you beat that many random encounters, there's no more random encounters. So then you can look around the area and get all the things you need, all the chests and stuff, which I found was very a unique system. And they combine that with a meter. When your meter gets to red, that's when you will get a random encounter.
Right.
So it actually added a very interesting, unique look at that genre.
Right.
If you're especially into role-playing games. The humor was amazing. Of course, you play Cthulhu, who loses his powers, and now he has to go save Santa, because all he wants for Christmas is his powers back.
Yeah, just to go off on the humor in the original game, I'm on chapter 9 or chapter 10 of the original game. I'm still working on it. And
Cosmic Star Heroine?
Yeah. And
because the actual original game is Cthulhu Saves the World.
Right, yeah. But I just wanted to like mention the humor. On the ship, I talked to an NPC, and he said, and the NPC said, "You want to know what my password is?" Incorrect. Because every time I hit my forgot, so that way when I hit forgot my password, the thing says, your password is incorrect.
Yeah.
I was just like, well, that's clever. That's very, very clever.
The puns in Cthulhu Saves the World are horrible and awesome at the same time. You have to, in between stages, because it's pretty much like stages, you're trying to fight five different, or six different bosses or whatever, the League of Evil. And you have to make relationships. But they're not called relationships, they're called Rathyliships. Which is basically Cthulhu's thing, yeah. So at one point you have to fight seven elves. And he goes, no, no, no. We're not fighting all seven of you. We're only really fighting five of you. Because of the game's limitations. And he says, no, really, we're fighting four of you. Plus we have to fight that cat. So really only four of you. Huh. And then you beat them and they're like, well, we've beaten the fight because of the limitations of the game. Says that that's what we did. So it like pretty much breaks the fourth wall like the Deadpool.
Right, yeah.
So if you like role-playing games, it's a short game. It's worth it. They had it on sale for the first couple of weeks. It was $8.99 and included Cosmic Star Heroine if you didn't have that on Steam. It's currently only available on Steam.
Right, yeah. It's an excellent game, guys, the base game. And then, obviously, as you can hear, this particular extent, this new game here is great. I mean, I would definitely play it if I can, if I could. So, yeah, definitely consider checking it out.
And I think your laptop could actually play it.
Oh, yeah, sure. Especially now that after it removed 600 gigabytes of data. Holy crap. So,
yeah,
there's that. What's next?
Well, next is a little game that Roberto gave me for Christmas called Guacamelee. Now, I have this game on PlayStation because it was given to us for free. But I've never really played it. I tried it once and I was like, this is stupid because I'm terrible at Metroidvanias. So when you gave it to me, I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to like this. I wasn't sure. Well, I was so addicted to the game, I couldn't stop playing it. I got to the end of the game. I'm at the boss, which I couldn't beat the boss until January 1st. And I still can't beat the boss, so screw me on that one. On the 31st, I said to my husband, oh, do you want to try playing the game? Because we can have multiple save files. He's like, okay. So we played for like an hour and a half. He's like, yeah, it's all right. So the next day, I was like, do you want to play Borderlands? He's like, No, I think we should continue on Guacamelee. I'm like, oh, you like the game. And we literally sat for 4 hours on the couch playing couch co-op. Which never happens in our house. We hate couch co-op. We only do stuff that we can each have our own system with our own space. So that tells you how good Guacamelee is.
Yeah, yeah. So my gift giving was based on, we played Nine Parchments over the last year several times. And I figured, you know, when I made the gift decision, I said, okay, you know, these people must like couch co-op. So it's a special, so just look for collector's items out there, guys. It's a Nintendo Switch version of Guacamelee. It's the Guacamelee Super something edition. I forgot.
Super Turbo Championship Edition.
Yeah, but this comes with, it's from the publisher or the manufacturer's from Liedman Games. It comes with the first game, which is Guacamelee Super, say that again with me,
Super Turbo Championship Edition.
Super Turbo Champion Edition. There we go. And then it comes with Guacamelee 2, both on the same cart, so you don't have to download any codes or anything like that, because that's something like Nintendo.
You do have to download codes.
No, but what I mean is, you don't have to download the games. I mean, the DLC,
you don't have to download the games, but there's codes.
Oh, yeah, for the DLC. Right, and then
it comes with, yes, that's right, it comes with the DLC.
Right, it comes with DLC codes. It comes with a soundtrack from Bandcamp. It comes with like a little poster.
Yes, you could download a soundtrack. It's a really beautiful, beautiful collector's edition. Like, it's beautiful.
Right.
Sorry, I really like it.
Yeah, so it was actually really, really cool. So, yeah, it's a great game. I would highly recommend it, especially for anybody who's doing, like, who would want to do couch co-op in a Metroidvania, which is not really something you normally hear nowadays. So, definitely consider checking it out.
And here's a pro tip for anybody out there. It is on Xbox Game Pass.
Yes, and it's also on PlayStation 4, PlayStation Vita, and PC.
Mm-hmm. Besides that, any other games I'm going to talk about, I'm going to talk about in the topic of the show. So let's head on over there now. Let's keep this train rolling. Backlog beatdown.
Yeah, you know, we really should get like a wrestling sound effect or something for that. Like, that sounds like backlog beatdown. You know, yeah. The Royal Rumble of video games.
So, let me go over the rules so everybody understands. Everyone starts at 0 points. Every game you beat is 1 point. Every game you 100% is an additional point, which is very important, or it's 1 point, because, for example, games like Radalak, you can get a platinum without actually beating the game. And we didn't want to, give too much advantage. But that also includes your achievements for Xbox and your achievements for Steam. Every game you buy is negative 1 point. It includes pre-orders as well. So if you pre-order a game in 2019, which I did, it's negative points. Free games do not count because, let's face it, we all have PlayStation service or Nintendo service or Xbox service, Game Pass, Twitch. So those don't count against you. If you'd like to participate, you post a screenshot in our Facebook group with the hashtag #backlogbeatdown, and you'll be added to the spreadsheet, which I'm maintaining. So, those are the rules. Now, a lot of people are asking us very specific questions about, you know, the Radalak plats, the games that take 30 minutes, the visual novels. This isn't about who wins or who loses. Obviously, we want to see who does well and who doesn't, and we'll be reading your names. The important part to this exercise is to get down your backlog. Me, and I know Roberto, we have a severe problem of buying games and not even opening them. In fact, I still have games I haven't even opened yet. They are literally still in the packaging. And I'm sure you do too, correct, Roberto?
Right, and because in my case too, I get codes or keys, and some of those games are completed for review and some others are neglected. Like, I still have Doom 2016. I started on it, but I haven't finished it. And I got even the Darksiders games and a bunch of other RPGs I haven't even started yet, like Death Request and Caligula Effect and a bunch of others. And some I've been working on for ages. Like, oh my gosh, there was the Hyperdimension, one of the Hyperdimension games, and there was Trails of Cold Steel, and so on. So yeah, there's a lot out there that you know.
And you're notorious for buying games and not playing them, just like me.
Oh yeah, I mean now, like with 2020, I mean I'm trying to form a resolution to like catch up on more stuff than buy stuff. But let me tell you, man. I mean, I was talking to Kali. March of 2020 is going to be a really bad month for your wallet if you're a gamer, between the FF7 remake, Animal Crossing, Doom Eternal, and everything else in between. And then subsequently, Labor Day weekend, Last of Us 2 for anybody who's big into that. So, yeah, it's going to be a wild one. But, I think that, I mean, one thing I'll observe is that when I was growing up, if you got a game, it was like this precious gem that you just got. Like, it was always a special moment. Like, me, I remember one time, it was a rainy day, and my mom picked me up from school, and I really wanted, there was a game I had rented and really wanted to get, but it was Blockbuster, I had to return it. And it was called Colony Wars Vengeance, and we just went to Toys R Us. It was $20, and like, when I got that game, it was very, very special. Because you got a few games every so often, every a couple of months. But now, you can get a game like almost every day, depending on what, because there's so many out there. So having this beatdown will probably help in helping to, as the name implies, clear that backlog.
Right, and the other part of this backlog beatdown is to stop buying games. Like, for example, how far are you in Kingdom Hearts 3?
Oh my god, this is embarrassing.
If you go back and listen to our old episodes,
oh my god,
you will hear him rave, I can't wait till Kingdom Hearts 3. Nobody's going to be able to talk to me. I'm not going to talk to anybody. All I'm going to do is play Kingdom Hearts 3. How far are you in that game?
I killed the Rock Titan. That's it. That's like the beginning of the game. Because I'm not bad. I mean, hopefully this weekend, I'm waiting for a big snowstorm too. This weekend, hopefully I'll be able to catch up on stuff. And then now, like, as we get into 2020 and we start, like, you know, a pattern starts to form, maybe I'll be able to catch up on that. But, yeah, you know, it's embarrassing, especially there's this giant DLC pack for that coming out, and all my friends are excited for it. I'm just like, yo, I haven't gotten anywhere. I don't know what to do. Sorry, I just...
And I'm at fault here, too. I have Persona 5 that I literally haven't beaten. I couldn't wait to get the game. I bought the Collector's Edition. And maybe I'm halfway through the game. Same thing with Xenoblade Chronicles. Love that game. 150 hours in, and I'm only halfway through the game.
Yeah. Oh my god. That's just insane. I can't. I mean, I want to play the original too, and I'm just like, 150 hours for the second one. Holy crap.
I know. The first one's over 100 hours.
Yeah. Oh my god.
And it's coming to the Switch.
Yeah. Yeah. So. It's like, so, and then once again, as I mentioned before, I get review keys for things, and it's just, when you get those games sometimes, those take paramount, and you have to stop what you're doing and make sure that you play the game and you get the review out, especially if you get it before the game's launch. So sometimes, like, you have to stop what you're doing and make sure that's done. Now, fortunately...
And then it's hard to get back.
Right. Like, you lose that groove and momentum. And other times, it's the trophies, too, or achievements. Like, they can kind of sidetrack you. I, for example, was big into Guacamelee myself. I haven't finished the game yet, but the problem is what I really wanted to do was I really wanted to 100% the little cities. So, there's like little towns and things like that. So, the little towns, what they do is like, you know, you get that kind of completion. And for completing those little towns. So it's that's what I want to do. But like, you have to do them, and then you have to go through the YouTube videos and walkthroughs and stuff, and yeah, it could be kind of a doozy. So yeah, you know, it's something to especially be careful for, especially as we enter a year where we're gonna get new systems and new games, and there might be some people who are like, well, I haven't beaten Final Fantasy VII Remake yet, but I'm going to pick up a PS5 right now and play whatever it is that they launch for the system this year.
So do you have a plan for the backlog beatdown?
The plan would be definitely start working more on RPGs that are already in effect. Like I mentioned, I'm on Chapter 10 of Cosmic Star Heroine. I've been working on that game since last year. I want to try and beat this thing completely. There was a visual novel, two visual novels I was working on, Valhalla and Psychopass. I need to finish. They're long, like especially for 100%ing. I mean, and then getting the multiple endings. The Valhalla one I'm not done yet, but and that's a 15-hour visual novel. So start like finish complete, of course, the things that are already in progress, and work on other games that I think have a lot more action to them. Games that you know are a little faster. There might be some other slower ones that I know that would never I'd never be able to beat, like Battlestar Galactica and that Mutant Road to Eden, the Mutant 01, which I know like that's probably a longer game. Definitely do like some of the smaller action games first. Sayonara, Wild Cards, and what else is out there? Streets of Rogue or what was it? Rage. I got a Streets of Rage inspired game. I forgot what it was called. Oh, like Rage Fight or something. Do things like that. Quicker games.
That's a good plan. That's what I was thinking because I'm already starting minus two in the hole.
Right.
I actually pre-ordered Monster Hunter, the new expansion, and Cyberpunk 2077, which was ruled as negatives for me.
Yeah.
So I had a plan to play Guacamelee to the last boss and then beat it on January 1st, so it counted. However, I'm stuck at the boss. And then I restarted the game with my husband. So that failed. I've been trying to work on Warlock's Tower, which is a Radalak game.
Yeah, that's a good one to try and finish, too. That's another one I can add is a game that to work on, considering that I've been working on that one for a while. And that one's a really weird puzzle game, adventure game, because like you're in a tower where you only have a certain amount of steps per level, and if you go over those steps, you die.
Well, you know nice, what charming it's little game. To?
What's up?
It's like Hitman Go.
Kinda, yeah. Except, yeah, in a sense. Except Hitman Go, you can move as many times as you want, as long as you didn't get caught. This one, it's kind of like that. You're right, though. But also, if you go one step over the allotted steps, you just disappear.
Yeah, that's it's a twisted, true. Cruel but you joke. can drop save points.
Right. True. Yeah, that's true. That is true.
So that helps. I've also been trying to think about which role playing games I want to go back to because I am in the middle of Outer Worlds, which I really want to play. And I just got for Christmas, Disco Elysium.
Nice, good. I heard that was really good.
So I have to really start that one. I'm really excited to start that one.
Yeah.
We are partnering with the Loot Brothers, and of course, Trophy Horse. So everybody will be participating. And we are going to be reading weekly what the current leaderboards are. So would you like to hear the leaderboards for the current backlog beatdown?
Sure.
Now we're recording this on the 2nd, and we have already people on the board. Resident Daryl has 4 points. Joseph Priestley has 3 from the game stuff. So we have Daryl from the Loot Brothers. We have Joseph from our podcast. Jim, my husband, is at -1. Levi is at -1. Which I don't think that's updated correctly. I want to say he's at -2 because he pre-ordered 2 games. So if I'm incorrect, I'm sorry. I'm going to check the sheet. I am at -2 because I pre-ordered 2 games. And CJ is as a whopping -20.
Wow. So how many games did he buy in pre-order?
He bought 20 games yesterday.
Oh, wow. From PSN or from the eShop or what?
All PlayStation.
Whoa.
Yeah. And then he proceeds to tell us that he had to give us a slight advantage. So I think he plans to play a lot of games.
Right. yeah, I mean, I admit that I picked up a few before the ball dropped on December the 31st. Namely,
I did too.
Yeah, games that were like a dollar on the eShop that looked pretty cool. and I tried to avoid it, but I was just like, ah, that looks good too. And then that, and especially Streets of Rogue, that was a tiny build game I've been waiting for a long time. And
didn't you gave me that game too?
Yeah, on Switch, not Switch, Steam.
Steam, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, it came for Switch, and I was like, okay, let me check this out. Plus, that soundtrack is killer. So right now, fortunately, despite the PlayStation Network sales, I've been fortunate enough to resist the temptation to buy anything. And on top of that, I was tempted to go to GameStop because, like, right now I haven't really bought a game in a long time. And you get that itch to get a game, and I've been resisting that. Also because, you know, PAX East is coming up really shortly. You know, it's already January. It's going to be the end of January before we know it. And then, as you know, PAX East is the end of February, so...
And just remember, I'm at PAX East too, so if I see you buying games, I'm going to be taking pictures and adding the negatives to your backlog.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So I have a question, though. What if I get them for free?
Free, we've determined that it's all right.
Okay, because you know that they might bounce me up with Steam keys or...
Right, I mean, review codes, we do get review codes, and we are required, which does get into our backlog, because we are required to play them. So we're really not going to count that against you. Obviously, so that's a great question. So take it to your discretion. Like, for example, I might want to play... I wanted to play Spider-Man. My friend bought Spider-Man. So he didn't actually... He said, don't buy it. I'll lend it to you. If I borrow a game I would have bought, I think I would make that a minus one to my backlog. Because it's a game that I would have bought.
Right.
This isn't about cheating the system. It's really about playing the games you have and stopping you from buying them. Like, literally, I have so many games, listeners, that you would be appalled at the number of games I have. Because... I don't just buy for PlayStation. Like, you buy a lot of PlayStation games.
Yeah, and occasionally Switch. Anything exclusive right. on Switch.
I buy for PlayStation, Xbox, PS4, you know, Steam. The Steam sale is happening. I have still $40 in my Steam account that I can't touch now because I can't take the negative hits right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, my backlog is crazy. At one point, I was like, oh, I'm going to be a trophy hunter. And I bought a whole bunch of games... like Lego games to try and play in Platinum, and I've never played them.
Right, yeah. I'd gotten one of the Marvel ones for Amazon on Cyber Monday. And then the other thing, as mentioned before, the trophies can be a little bit of a disheartening thing, because then it's like you want to 100% it. Like Doom, I'm trying not to think about the trophy counter, trophy hunting. I just want to play the game and just enjoy myself. And, you know, play and beat the game, obviously, before Eternal comes out. So there's that. I feel that trophy sometimes can be a bit of a hindrance because of the fact that they give you this kind of mindset where you don't really 100% complete the game until the game is fully completed with the achievements. And on top of that, it gives you this like kind of distraction. Like, I mean, I will say that thinking about it, I played in 2010 Medal of Honor Frontline. Not Medal of Honor Frontline. Medal of Honor, the 2010 one, when they're in your special forces in Afghanistan. And I kind of beat the game and felt completed when I first played the game. It took me like 2 days to complete the campaign. But then what like distracted me was the fact that you had to play it online and unlock all the trophies and achievements. And some of them were online trophies. So I'm proud of myself for that. But sometimes those trophies can become like big distractions, or those achievements can become distractions as well, and prevent you from just enjoying the game, because you want to like get all the trophies or achievements beforehand and complete it right away. And it's like, you know, you forget to like just enjoy the game and enjoy what you're doing, you know? So, but yeah, that's another thing. I mean, that's one advantage Nintendo games have in this backlog beatdown. You don't have to worry about achievements. Like, for example, I'm still working on Daemon X Machina. I have about 20-something hours in that. And I think I'm nearing the end of the game. So I don't have to worry about achievements and accomplishing achievements. I just have to worry about playing and beating it. So the Switch would probably be the better bet. And even some Android games and things like that, I just play for, like, you know, just for fun. Not the
achievements. Have you played Guacamelee on the Switch?
No, I have not.
So, funny story.
Yeah.
They took all of the achievements and sunk them right into the game, onto the Switch.
Oh, that's right. I've noticed some games do that. They build them into the game, but not, like, for your, like, profile.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, look, I'm, like, literally doing crap. I'm like, oh, I can get an achievement for this. I'm like, what am I doing? What am I doing? I need to beat these games.
Right, right. Yeah, you know, those are, I mean, those are cool and all, but it's like, it's for the inside of the game, not so much your profile or your Xbox gamer tag. And, but yeah, that even reminds me, maybe, do Android or iOS games count?
If it's in your backlog, yeah. For example, I have Cat Quest 2 on iOS.
Okay, because I got a game called She Sees Red. It's an FMV game. $2.99. And then I still have Bad North Jotun Edition, which is also on the phone. And let me tell you, that's a great game on the smartphone. It's that micro strategy game with Vikings that was on the Switch first. And they put it on the phone. It's a great, great port. But I'm still working on a campaign because it's not even on easy difficulty. It's not easy.
All right. So please come join us. Come join the backlog beatdown and have some fun. Talk some smack because we are definitely talking smack right now.
Right.
If you do like us, subscribe and rate us. Please rate us on iTunes. It does help us out. Please rate us on Google Play or whatever that Android thing is. I don't know. If you do like us, we have a Twitter account that I'm terrible at. It's at GameStuffCast. We have a Facebook group, GameStuffPodcast. Ask for an invite. We'll invite you. And we'll talk smack. We have a Patreon page. It's patreon.com/provengamer. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can find us in the Facebook group. Or you can contact us on Twitter. You can contact Roberto at jhudi88. That's J-E-U-H-E-T-Y.
No, it's a Zone in the Enders reference. J-E-H-U-T-Y-A-8.
Sorry, I should totally know this. You can find, you can actually find Joe, who couldn't be here tonight, at MrTMNT84 on Twitter. And then you can find me at Kali21 on Twitter. We have various different profiles you can contact us at. If you'd like to find out, just ask us in our Facebook group. We'll be glad to play with you. If you want to play a game with us, let us know. We'd love to play games. I'm currently playing Dying Light with Resident Daryl. Wow, I can't talk. Resident Daryl and Levi, one of our good listeners, so definitely that. Also, if you follow the Facebook group or you follow Roberto here, you can find all of his articles for his various sites. You can also email us at gamestuff@provengamer.com. We do have some sponsors. We're sponsored by Amazon. Just go to provengamer.com, click on any Amazon link, and do your shopping like normal. We are also sponsored by Humble Bundle. We support the Extra Life charity. Follow the link in our show notes. Go buy great video games, especially if you're part of the backlog beatdown. I need an advantage here. And it does help out the kids. We have other shows. We have the Trophy Horse, which is hosted by Tricky. It's our PlayStation podcast and our flagship show. And we have the PG Spoilers, which is run by Resident Daryl, who's doing a great job. I also want to thank Isaac Sago for our logo and the band Take Away the Ugly for our music. You can find all of their information in our link in our show notes. So thank you so much for listening. Happy New Year's, and we'll see you on the next episode of Game Stuff.
Beat down your backlog. Have a good one. Happy New Year, and we'll see you again next week.